Thank you very much. It really is a great joy to be with you. And we had the privilege of having Pastor Noel, and a number of you came to our place a couple of months ago. We were really blessed, and God really spoke to us through you, and some of the prophetic words you gave were absolutely amazing. So we thank you for the input you had there. Yes, it is 45 years, actually. You probably get one of these on your seat, but do read it. It's very short. There's some comments and testimonies from around the world. We've mainly been traveling, Evelyn and I, all these years as evangelists and having missions, working with all the churches, holding leadership events. There's a little article there called Preparation for Elevation. God wants to lift you higher so he can increase kingdom influence through you. And there's also some free little Bible studies like Overcoming Offense. Has anybody ever come up against offense? Not in this area, but certainly in Northern Ireland. And here's one, Atmosphere for Increase. How many could do some increase? Increase of peace and joy, increase of health, increase of all kinds, and a banquet at University of Ulster. Hopefully you come to that. Pastor Kenny will be sharing. And then my book, just a few copies of that, What Do You Mean It's Impossible? It's a story about our healing. Evelyn, my wife, was healed of cancer when doctors said her days were numbered. I was given very bad news in 2003 and told I had a cancerous tumor and they could promise me nothing. And I'm here today because of God's love, because of God's miracle working power. I did have a word, I believe, from the Lord, and when I speak in Africa, it normally has to be restricted to 2.5 hours. But today we do it in 30 minutes, okay? But it's exciting to be with you. I was born in Monaghan. I'm proud to be Irish. I was born in the Republic of Ireland in Monaghan on a farm. We didn't have the privilege you have of wonderful worship like this and wonderful anointing and presence of God. We were brought up in a very traditional, ritualistic church. We never heard about the power of the Holy Spirit. We never heard about salvation. We never heard you could be forgiven of your past or could be free from guilt and all of the things that we were plagued with, like self-condemnation and sense of rejection and loneliness and all of those things. But through my mother, all seven of us, I'm the seventh son, and there was two sisters as well. Every one of us were prayed into the kingdom, born again and filled with the Holy Ghost. To God be the glory. Amen. In Monaghan, you didn't have much time to go to social events because we were on the farm. When we come home from school, it was a case of getting out and gathering potatoes or helping with whatever was to be done. And I heard this story about a young man in Monaghan who he never had time to go to a social gathering. A very young guy, but he was now at the age where he was thinking about a wife. He was thinking he needed to think in terms of who he was going to marry. So he thought, I don't have time to go to all these social events or all these get-togethers. So he decided to put an advert in the paper. Young farmer seeks wife, preferably with tractor. And then it said, please send photograph of tractor. So he had his head screwed on. Anyway, I'm going to share with you for a few moments on the theme, Revelation of Restoration. Everybody say Revelation,
Revelation.
Of Restoration.
Restoration.
We've had the privilege over 40 more or more years of seeing millions touched of the Lord. Multitudes come to Christ. We've had the major crusades with hundreds of thousands in the fields over Africa, right across Africa for 12 years. We've also been training leaders in different seminars. We call them life-giving leadership seminars. All over Africa, we had amazing miracles. I couldn't tell you about all of them today, but we may be able to tell you about some. But we've had the privilege of reaching out and seeing the revelation of the gospel the revelation of the love of God, the revelation of His great power and of the power of His Word becoming a reality, and because of that revelation, restoration. Everybody say restoration. No matter what way you're bound, no matter what's holding you back, depression, anxiety, fear, regret, guilt, condemnation, maybe a sickness or disease or some kind of addiction. We also are doing a work in Belfast at the moment, reaching people on alcohol and drug abuse, and we've seen hundreds touched in the centre of Belfast. And we're developing what we call a dream centre there to reach broken young people. We're seeing many of them coming to salvation who never even heard one word of Scripture, never even heard the love of God. So I know when the revelation of God's love breaks on people, they can see hope. They can see that there's restoration possible, that God Almighty is still alive and He's still transforming lives today. And without taking the time to turn to it, but you know the verse very well, Romans chapter 1, verses 14 through 17, please read it at some stage again. The Apostle Paul saw a revelation of restoration, and he was absolutely overwhelmed by the love of God and by what was made available through the cross of Christ and the resurrection. He said, I'm a debtor to everyone. I'm a debtor to the Greeks, to the Jews, to the barbarians, to everyone. And he said, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to those at Rome also. Then he said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. The key statements that I take out of that is, I'm a debtor. Somebody say, I'm a debtor. That means we owe it to our generation to share the revelation. We owe it to the children. We owe it to the families, with the mothers, the fathers, the community. We owe it to everybody, those on the streets that never heard of the love of God. We're debtors because our eyes have been opened. That's revelation. To see what Jesus really done and to see how he defeated Satan on the cross and how the devil is a defeated foe. And through faith in Christ Jesus, we can be restored. Everybody say restored. So he said, I'm a debtor. Then he said, I am ready. Everybody say ready. Are you ready to go? I was so impressed with this wonderful work that you're doing, not just talking about doing, but communicating, reaching people at the level they're willing to be reached. So he said, I'm ready to go to preach or to proclaim or communicate this good news everywhere. And then he said, I'm not ashamed of this. Why was he not ashamed? Because it works. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. You know, we landed in Nairobi and we were invited to speak to government members, and I was asked to talk about business principles. So I felt impressed to use the theme, creating a climate for change. How do you bring change? And that was really about Ireland, because being born in Ireland, and we were developing nursing homes at the time, way back all those years ago, to help people and to care for people in a very good environment. And it became successful, and we developed over 33 units all over the place and employed about 2,000 staff. And the people in Nairobi heard about this. We've been broadcasting for, I think, something like 3 years on television, a program called Deciding Your Destiny. It was watched by millions of people all over Africa. So they invited us to come and just share with a small group of business leaders and judges and people of the community to talk about business principles with integrity. And so I said, well, can I preach the gospel? They said, no, you can't. Because we have Hindus, we have Muslims, we have all kinds of people. You can't preach the gospel, but you can share your story. I said, well, if I can share my story, that's fine. So I spoke about creating a climate for change. Because they said in Ireland, people are so close to family, they'll never have a loved one go into a nursing home. They'll never have a loved one looked at anywhere else or looked after anywhere else. But we believed if we create a climate for change and show a very loving, caring, high-quality service, we could bring a climate for change. But then I went on to say, but the biggest change that ever happened to me was when I discovered God Almighty loved me. Because I felt rejected. I felt alone. I felt nobody could give me hope. I was depressed. I was sad as a teenager. And I said, I never knew what it was to have real purpose and joy until I came face to face with the revelation of God's salvation. When I realized he died on that cross for me, and he took my sorrows and my burdens and my grief and my sin and my fears and my rejection, I asked Christ into my heart. The burden lifted and I was transformed. I got filled with the Holy Spirit so much that my very fingertips tingled with the power of the Holy Spirit, and my whole family had been transformed. And the people listened, and I said, anybody here would like to be transformed? About 11 hands raised up, and one of the first was a Hindu, a very famous Hindu man. And he was radically saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. Because of that one man, the news went all over Africa because he was famous. And we were on television for days and days, and then we had the major crusade. So through one person, through the revelation of salvation, through one person, multitudes can be restored. Everybody say restored. We need to share this revelation of restoration. I don't know what you've lost. Evelyn and I have both suffered big attacks. When we were just about to get married, she was told she had cancer. And she was a nurse herself and knew that there was no hope. And we had to make a decision whether to believe God or give up. But we believed God because I'd seen my own mother healed, miraculously healed. And we knew the age of miracles was not past. Some people told us, the age of miracles is over. It finished with the apostles. And then we discovered there's no such thing as an age of miracles. There's a God of miracles who fills every age. Amen. He's a God of miracles. He fills every age. Hallelujah. And he can forgive you, and we can forgive each other. And one of the big things that I found out that forgiveness brings restoration. You know, I heard about this farmer in County Monaghan who he'd had a fallout with his neighbor and they hadn't spoken for 20 years. And his neighbor was really grieved. He wanted a reconciliation, but this farmer was so angry he wouldn't even see him. Then he became very ill and he was about to die. And he said to his wife, bring my neighbor. I want to talk to him before I die. I want to put things right. So he brought his neighbor in and he said, now, John, you know we've had a fallout 20 years ago and we've been very hurt. But he said, I want to apologize to you for the hurt I caused you and I asked you to forgive me. But he said, if I recover from this, forget the apology. But you see, that isn't forgiveness at all. God looked at us. In our hearts, we can say a lot of things, but what our heart like. But we found Jesus took not only our sins, our sicknesses, our fears, our depressions, but he took every mistake and every wrongdoing. And Evelyn was healed one night. She had a growth on her throat, could not swallow for 11 or more days. It was actually 3 weeks. And we prayed together with some friends, and the power of God went through her like electricity. The next morning, the growth was totally gone. Totally healed by the power of God. So we know he's real. Amen. Give the Lord a good hand. He is real. So when we travel and when we preach the gospel in places like Italy and Romania, wherever we go, miracles automatically happen because the word of the Lord brings revelation. And when revelation comes and people's eyes are opened, they reach out and restoration happens. People are restored into relationship. People are restored. And forgiveness happens in families and communities, and God brings a restoration. And so Paul said, I have seen the revelation, and I'm not going to keep silent. I'm ready to preach. I'm ready to communicate. I'm a debtor. I owe it to my generation. We owe it to our neighbors. We owe it to our community. We owe it to our families. We cannot keep silent. We've got to declare the restoration message. The power of the Lord, the power of the word is in us, but are we letting it out? The power is in the word, so let the word into you. And let the word loose through your mouth. The words we speak have spirit and life. That's what Jesus said. The words I speak unto you are spirit and life. And God wants to restore everything the devil has stolen from your life. The devil is a thief. Jesus said that in John 10:10. He came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus came to restore. In Joel 2:25, he promises to restore the years that have been wasted. So if you've wasted years and made wrong choices, don't be condemned. He is a restorer of lost years. If you've lost your joy, it says in Psalm 51:12, restore to me the joy of my salvation. So he restores joy. He restores peace. Have you lost your peace? Have you lost your joy? Have you lost hope? Well, he's here to restore you today. If you lost your health, Jeremiah 30, verse 17, he restore health to you and heal you of your wounds. He wants to restore your health today. He wants to restore whatever you've lost. So I want to quickly just mention, in a very short time, a great story of restoration. It's found in 1 Samuel. You can read it later. And it talks about David, who had lost everything. He had gone away and had left his city. 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 1 through 8. David had gone away from his city and his town. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1 through 8. And when he was away from the city of Ziklag, where he had been, where he lived, where his family was, where his children were, there was an invasion and attack of the enemy who came against the city, and they burned it with fire, and they took the children, and they took the fathers and the mothers and everybody hostage. And when they returned back home, when David returned, the city was burned to ashes, and the families and the children and the whole community had been kidnapped and taken to an unknown location. And the Bible says they wept until there was no more power to weep. And then they turned on David to blame him, and they were going to stone him. He'd lost everything. He'd lost his family. Everybody was grieving deeply for their families. They'd lost everything. The devil comes to take your children, to take your loved ones, to deceive them through drugs and alcohol abuse, through deception, through selfish living, through lust and sin. Satan will steal your life. But Jesus came to restore. Everybody say restore. We're in a day of restoration. And so as they wept and as they called on the Lord, David did not know what to do. But I want to mention two or three things he did. Number one, he encouraged himself in the Lord. You know, there's certain things you can do when you're on your own and it seems like you've lost everything. You've lost family, you may have lost health, you may have lost peace. But you can encourage yourself in the Lord. It says David encouraged himself in the Lord. When you've lost your confidence, lost your relationships, lost your family, what do you do? Well, David encouraged himself. One of the ways you can encourage yourself is to think of what God has made available for you through the cross of Christ. Amen. Forgiveness of every sin. He has made available to you peace and abundance. He's made available to you health and healing. He's made available to you everything you need that the devil has stolen. He wants to restore. So you can encourage yourself by meditating on the Word, having your mind renewed according to Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So everything you've lost can be restored. Your peace, your health, your relationship, your good name, everything can be restored. So David encouraged himself. You can encourage yourself through meditating in the Word. You can encourage yourself through prayer. I love a verse of Scripture in Jude 1, verse 24. It says, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. So you can pray in the Spirit, pray in tongues, worship God at the very darkest hour. Whenever Evelyn was told she'd days to live, first of all, we were sad. We were broken. We didn't know what to do. But then we said, thank you, Lord. By your stripes, we are healed. Thank you, Lord. You're a restorer of health. Thank you, Lord. You paid the price. We choose to believe the good report, not the bad report. By your stripes, we're healed. We refuse to accept as final the enemy's report or even the report of the doctors. We believe the good report that himself took our infirmities. He bore our griefs. He carried our sorrows. And as we did, and as we praised and worshipped him, that's when the healing preparation began to happen. Never give in. Never stay down. You may feel down a bit, but you're too blessed to be depressed. Amen? Amen. You're too blessed to be depressed. Hallelujah. You're too anointed to be disappointed. But God is for you, and God is on your side, and he wants to show you a revelation of restoration right in the darkest hour. And the devil really gets confused when he's thrown his worst shot and fiery dart against you, and instead of getting down under it, you start to say, hallelujah, Jesus is Lord. The devil's defeated. I will praise him in the morning. I will praise him in the noontide. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. And when you start to praise and worship and shout the victory in the very worst day when you've lost everything, I can tell you the devil gets confused. And God already opens heaven over your head, and you're in restoration already. Amen. Somebody say restore. Time for us to believe for restoration. Number two, he inquired of the Lord. David didn't just go away and say, why has this all happened to me? This is not fair. Why did I suffer this loss? The city's burned. My family's gone. All these people have lost everything. But he went and looked up to God. Not only did he encourage himself, but he inquired of the Lord. And when he inquired of the Lord, number three, he received specific guidance. Everybody says specific guidance. God showed him exactly where his family was. God showed him where the enemy was camping with all the people. And you know the story how they got directions. You can read the book carefully. But they went after them. God said, pursue, for you will surely recover all. And they pursued. We do not need to give in and let the devil win. We need to pursue the enemy and say, get your hands off God's property. We refuse to suffer loss. We refuse to accept as final what the devil's done, because we serve a God of restoration. We serve a God whose word prevails over all other words. We serve a God whose name's above all name, and his power greater than any other power. And we will not suffer for loss, because we have a God of restoration. So he inquired of the Lord. We need to be able to listen to the Lord, to set our affections things above. I love what it says in Hebrews 4, verse 2. Talks about people who heard the word of the Lord, but it says the word did not profit them. Isn't that a strange thing? The word didn't profit them, not being mixed with faith. Another translation says, not being accompanied by corresponding action. You can hear the word, but if you don't act on it, it won't profit you. You can sit in meetings and hear salvation's free and you can know eternal life. Yes, you believe all that, but you never act upon it. You're still lost. Still go to a lost eternity. You can sit in need and say, yes, I believe he took my sickness and my fears. But if you don't act on it, start to act like it's true. You see, our problem is not the problem. It's our attitude to the problem that's the problem. Isn't that true? Let's turn our attitude around and be in line with the word. If he says, I'm healed, then I'm healed. I was preaching in Killarney. Have ever many from Killarney today here? How many have been to Killarney? It's a lovely part of the world. Anyway, I was preaching at a big event in Killarney years ago, actually in 2003. And the Lord gave me a message, strength in storms of life. And I'd just been to the specialist before I left home, and he'd taken scans. I was feeling unwell. And in Killarney, we were on the last meeting, and we were out in the foyer just waiting for the meeting to start. And I told my consultant surgeon to ring me on my mobile if he had the results of the scan. And I'm about to go on the platform and speak strength in the storms of life. My phone rings, and he says, are you sitting down? So I knew he didn't have a good report. So I went into a small room, listened to the call. He told me straight out, a bad news for you. You have a cancerous tumor, and you need to come back at once. It's very serious. First went to the room for a few minutes. We're about to start, so I went to the room and prayed. And that night, God gave me the power to preach on strength in the storms of life. I was coming through the storms. We were about to go to, was it Burundi or Rwanda? We're about to go to Rwanda for a big mission. And so I had to decide, do I call off the mission? All of our workers were there and a major crowd coming. And so I had to decide, do I cancel this? Because my specialist says, you've got to stop everything. It's very serious. Cut a long story short, we returned home praying and asking God for guidance. And the surgeon showed me the scans and said, this tumor's on a very dangerous place on the main artery. We think it's very high risk to operate. We can do nothing. We will operate because it's the only thing we know to do. And we cannot promise you anything. So I had to make a decision. We prayed about it. Decided not to have surgery. And that's 10 years ago next month. I never had surgery, and thank God I'm stronger today than I was 10 years ago. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. So when you inquire of the Lord in a day of darkness and trouble, you get specific guidance. Scripture says there in John 16:13 that the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. Two things will guide you very, very powerfully. One is the Word and the other is the Holy Spirit. Amen? We have the Word and we have the Holy Spirit who bears witness. Okay, very quickly, number four. He had a united team. David found people who agreed with his vision of restoration. David said, we are to pursue and we will recover all. We're not to give in and accept the loss. We are to pursue and we will recover all. So we find those who believe with him. And when you're in a storm and when you're in a battle, you need to find some people who are people of faith. Amen? You need to find some people who believe in miracles. You need to find some people who will not accept what the enemy seems to be showing you is inevitable. Amen? Never accept what appears to be inevitable. Because God says he will turn around your circumstances and your situation according to your faith, be it unto you. So he had a united team. James 3:16 says, wherever there's strife and division, there's confusion and every evil work. One of the greatest weapons that God's given the church is love. Another one's faith. But one of Satan's greatest weapons is strife. Strife and division divides the church and takes away your power. So he had a united team, and he pursued them and went after the enemy. Number five, he pursued when others fainted. David and his team began to pursue the enemy. Some people got weak and gave up hope, and they wouldn't go the whole way. But there were those who had a total unity with the leader, and they continued to pursue and were absolutely persistent and relentless. And those are the people that's going to bring restoration. Amen? Those are the people that's going to bring change to this country. We do not give in because it's tough. We do not give in because it looks bad or it looks hopeless. We never give up because God Almighty is with us. And if he's with us, who can be against us? So he pursued when others had fainted. The Bible tells us there, Hebrews 10:37, that we have need of patience, that after we've done the will of God, we would receive the promise. So you have to be patiently pursuing right through the storms, through the heat, through the trial, through the trouble. Never give in, never give up. Pursue until you recover all. Everybody say restoration. Number six is a close. He had inside information. God brought them in touch with a soldier who was an Egyptian soldier. He had deserted from the enemy army who was part of the people who stole the family, and he told them the whole news. Inside information. I want to tell you, when you start to walk in the ways of the Lord, he opens your eyes to things you could never see. Amen? Amen. He opens new doors. He opens gates. He gives you an open heaven. So expect revelation of restoration. God will let you see who to talk to and who not to talk to, who to reach, when to reach them. He wants to speak daily to his children. So we need receiving inside information. Number seven, he recovered all and more. The Bible says they followed right to the very place where their families were being held, where the children were being held, and they overcame and defeated the enemy and restored not only what had been stolen, but they took a lot more of the prey. And they brought back everything they'd lost and more back to the city with a shout of praise and victory. We are in a time of restoration. It's time to reach. I'm so glad this church has a vision for reaching this community and that community and all over the place. The world is there. We must not stay inside four walls. We must go out and reach the hurting and broken where they are. We have come across many people at the City Hall in Belfast, some young people who are on the way to commit suicide. Some of our team talked to them, offered them a cup of coffee or hot chocolate, and they looked so depressed, these kids. And they began to talk, "Why are you doing this?" And they said, "Because we love you and Jesus loves you." Who's Jesus? They never heard. Never been to church. Never a word. And as they shared with them, began to say, "I'm on my way to commit suicide tonight. I can't live with this any longer." But they came and got right with God and were saved. No suicide. Totally delivered. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. And let me close with this. Number 8. Restoration is promised. Everybody say it's promised. Hallelujah. I already referred to one verse. I'll repeat it again. Joel 2:25. "I restore to you the years the locusts have eaten." Psalms 23 verse 3. "I will restore your soul." Restoration is promised. Restoration of your family. Household salvation is promised. Don't let any of your loved ones go to hell. Don't give up on them, no matter how bad it looks. Get a revelation of restoration. Start to pray. Start to fast. Start to do battle. Get a united team. It's time to take the land. It's a day of good tidings. We mustn't hold our peace. These are good days. These are wonderful days. These are days of victory. So let's get a vision for winning our communities and going forward from strength to strength. It's time for us to see a revelation of restoration and move on into it today. Amen? Maybe we could have some worship. I just want to take a moment to give opportunity for those of needs this morning. Pastor Noel has given me permission to do that. And I just want to sing something very quickly, and then we'll be on our way. But I do feel there's people that need restoration today. How many need restoration in your life? Maybe you're hurt emotionally. Maybe you're suffering from injury mentally or emotionally or in relationships. You know, one thing, life's greatest assets is not money or property. Life's greatest assets is relationships. Everybody say relationships. Make much of your family. Make much of your church. Make much of your community. God loves every one of you. So I want you to stand, please. And I'm just going to pray a prayer of faith, and then the team can come and minister to those who will be responding, the church team. And so I want to ask you, are you right with the Lord this morning? Is there anyone here who's not sure your sins are forgiven? Is there anyone here who you're not sure you have eternal life? You're not sure if you were to breathe your last breath today that you would go straight to heaven? Have you any doubt about your eternal destiny? Any doubt? Well, I want to pray with you. I'm going to ask you to sing one little piece, and then we're going to give another appeal in just a moment. This is a day of restoration. This is a day to receive eternal life, to receive healing, to receive blessing. As our eyes closed, how many would say, "Yes, I want to be sure I'm right with God. I want to be sure." Would you put your hand up and say, "Yes, I want to be sure"? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. We're going to pray a prayer, and you're going to repeat it after me in just a minute. But just sing something through once, please. And then we're going to pray.